Savannah's city manager search is near its climax, with three finalists set to interview in person later this week. You'll notice I didn't use the word end there. That's because the last time we had finalists interview, Savannah City Council didn't make a hire, so we'll remain optimistic but cautiously slow this time around. Alderman Nick Palumbo joins the Tuesday commute to discuss the city manager search process and much, much more. The commute is presented by National Office System. Welcome to The Commute this Tuesday, June the 22nd of 2021. I'm Adam Van Brimmer, opinion editor and columnist at the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. This week is an important one for Savannah City Government. Three city manager candidates will interview for the job. Savannah's been without a permanent chief executive for more than 2 years now, so a new boss is much anticipated. The community's eyes are as much on the mayor and aldermen as they are the candidates, as residents remain wary of the drama that surrounded an earlier city manager search abandoned last fall. One of the nine council members, Nick Palumbo, talks about what's different about this search from the last time and all the things council can accomplish once this hire is made. But first, a plug for the commute's presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Their name says it all. They are the source for office design and outfitting services in Savannah. We at the Savannah Morning News are proud to call ourselves clients, as are hundreds of other businesses in the Savannah area. National Office Systems has been serving this community for more than 30 years and works with the best suppliers in the business. From Savannah's own Dirt Modular Interiors, which manufactures configurable office environments, to office furniture superpower Herman Miller. Learn more by visiting natoffsys.com. That's natoffsys.com. Now, here's the interview with Alderman Palumbo. Pretty excited to be joined on the commute today by Alderman Nick Palumbo, who is 2 years in now, Nick, pretty much, a year and a half.
Don't give us too much credit. We still got a little bit more time to go. So just a year and a half, although it might feel like a decade and a half.
Usually it does.
It's been about a lifetime since I was here last time before the election.
That's right. That's right. The last time you were in this office was prior to November of 2019, which is a lifetime ago, considering all the things that have happened since. That said, and let's go ahead and start with city manager. That's something that's been going on even longer than 2019, actually to earlier in the year 2019, when Rob Hernandez said he was going to leave for other parts. He moved back down to Florida, and it created an opening. And the last council started the process, didn't finish the process. I think probably a wise move on their part, considering I think they saw that they could see some major changes in council leadership and go ahead and let the new council handle that. Of course, the process has not gone smoothly since the new council came on. Later this week, though, we have three finalists that are coming in. Two coming in from out of town, from Cincinnati and Washington, and another finalist from here in town. As you look back at not only the current search, but the search that was conducted last year and abandoned because council could not agree on a candidate, how would you kind of summarize the search and the process? And is it going to be worth all the trouble and the pain in the end?
Well, we love the process so much, we did it twice over.
There you right? go.
You yep. know, that's to really, and on a positive note, to make it a deliberate decision to make the right choice 100%, because we know how valuable it's going to be. We know when you get a good one, you get a legendary candidate like Pat Monahan and Michael Brown. Mm-hmm. And I could only wish that we had a time machine and we could, you know, make Michael and Pat
younger,
keep them in there. That's on the bright side that we've had. I mean, the greatest hits of all time in public service have been able to serve in the top spot, mm-hmm. and leave their mark. And it really made a profound impact in the short time that they were both here. Mm-hmm. But this time around, we were more analytical. Mm-hmm. We were more objective. We put the candidates through a battery of tests. And I liken it to the first time around, you know, so I was a police officer and then I was a special agent in the Foreign Service. The police officer exam was straightforward. You had the panel interview, the test, resume. And then the special agent exam was a battery of tests, the psychological assessment. There was a situational based exam where you were role playing in different angles. And that's the type of test that we gave the city manager candidates this time. Mm-hmm. We gave them a writing sample and it was scored. They had different panelists that they had to interview with throughout the process. served on by volunteers in city management positions across the country.
Oh, okay.
So it was city managers really that got them to this point, that got the list down and then down and then down again. There was a psychological assessment for mm-hmm. each of the candidates, which for, you know, council, they definitely need mm-hmm. just to make sure that they're made of the right stuff. And then they even had a role playing assignment where they were, they had to sit down with, they were role players. They had to sit down with an employee and go through a disciplinary hearing. And how did they handle that? And it was held through, you know, through Zoom so that people could observe and grade them on the potential. Mm-hmm. Then the other was a situational based assessment where there were council role players and you had a contentious council. And how did you get through the meeting? How did you handle yourself? What creative solutions did you offer up in a situation that they weren't prepared for before they went into this scenario? Mm-hmm. So you got a real objective look at their performance capabilities. And then the council was able to grade them, you know, as we went through to get down to what I believe are three really exciting candidates in their own right.
So the search firm basically gave you, I'm guessing, 10 to 12. They narrowed it down to there. Those were the ones you put through these tests. And are you watching, are you seeing this live? Are you seeing this through Zoom? Are you seeing it through video? Are you watching it together? Are you watching it separate? I guess, how do you keep other council members from influencing each other?
That's right. That's a good question. So this time we broke into three groups. Mm-hmm. You know, we decided to assess it through three groups. Mm-hmm. It was a smoother process this time. Last time around, we handled it all nine all the time. Mm-hmm. So breaking down into smaller groups, and we were able to ask individual questions. And most of the assessment was handled and graded by the professional assessors. Mm-hmm. And they were given a number score. You know, this is how they felt that they did on the written assignment. This is how we viewed them in their knowledge, skills, and abilities, their assessment, and gave them a number grade. So that even if you weren't engaged in the process whatsoever, you could find out who they thought the top candidates were. Mm-hmm. And as we've gotten closer, you know, then we finally got to sit down with them via Zoom and interview a number of the candidates, and we all asked the same standardized questions before we got to the three panelists or three finalists that we have today. Mm-hmm. So really a deliberate and exhaustive group and battery of tests to go through this so far. And it moved quickly. I know it's a longer timeline than folks are used to, but in trying to make the right choice, you know, you want to see every possible thing that's out there. So they've had their background check. The examiners looked at, maybe if they've had some missteps in their past lives, they've all served in government capacity before. Mm-hmm. So all of that was unearthed through the process. Maybe if they had some controversies back there. And there were others that were weeded out of the process because of that.
Okay.
You know, that we knew that just wouldn't be a good fit. So we're really excited about these top three.
Last fall, when you got down to, I think it was six and had to get to three, and there was a big meeting, and that's where it really got heated. Of course, it ultimately ended in an ethics hearing. We don't need to revisit all of that. But was the narrowing it from six to three or four to three or whatever you guys did this time, was the process of that different and was it less contentious?
Absolutely. Yes, and less contentious. This time around, instead of handling it as a group decision, it was more on the measure of personal accountability. So we could rank the individual candidates in our own surveys, and every step of the way, each member of council was given a digital survey that they gave back to the search firm and then ranking them. And all of the scores, there were none that were weighted more heavily than others. So all nine of us, even the mayor, all got our input handed to them. Mm-hmm. They averaged the scores together and the top three made it as the finalists.
Okay. So there wasn't any, we got to choose one to throw out. It was, here's the scores. Whoever finishes fourth is out.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Rank your top three, you know, who's the top five and who's the top three, and the highest score, that was it. So, and there's 100% accountability the whole way because they're all in a digital survey.
Right. So you've looked at these three candidates backwards and forwards already. What are you looking for when they come in later this week?
They all bring something different to the table, and I'm going to be looking for different things from each of them. You know, I'm excited about each of them in different ways because they have very dynamic backgrounds. Of course, you have an internal hire, you know, our local boy, been here for 15 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be looking at, okay, are you ready to make the next step in the next position? We have somebody that's outside of Cincinnati, but she doesn't have as much experience as the other two candidates that are there. So are you ready? Mm-hmm. And, finally for Jay Milner coming out of DC, he is super sharp and one of the sharpest policy minds that's out there. But how are you going to fit being for the first time, top leadership position in this organization? Mm-hmm. So how's it going to be? So, yeah, you know what? I'm going to ask them all different things. But the big question is, are you ready to lead today?
Right.
Because we can't wait. We can't allow for ramp up time. I mean, you need to hit the ground running. We're in the post-pandemic world. Everybody's ready to go. Businesses are opening up. We have real-time challenges that are here. Mm-hmm. And we need to, they need to get picked up in the stream of the Savannah River, ready to fly, ready to roll, right. Ready to swim.
Right. The $60,000 question in all of this, and Mayor Van Johnson has made it very, very clear that when it comes to city manager, race is not an issue for him. I think, and maybe this is just a supposition on my part, that maybe it was last fall with some members of council. How do you as a group kind of make sure that you're looking for, because you have two African-American candidates, you have one's an African-American female, you have a white male candidate. How do you make sure that at least as a whole, you're looking at them on the merits of what they bring to the table, and the color of the skin or their gender does not enter into any kind of decision-making.
That's right. Their success is our success, and they have to be successful. Mm-hmm. For this council, for all nine of us, whether or not we choose to do this again, go on to bigger, better things, whatever we're going to do in the council, our fate is tied to this election, mm-hmm. more so than any other, mm-hmm. Because we've pushed the reset button once and said we'd rather take a hit on this and do it all over again and get somebody right. So if we don't get the absolute best rock star upon rock stars, it's going to be held accountable upon us. We have to make the best decision of the person that's going to be the most successful for this city, regardless of their background, where they came from, what they look like. It's what is going to do the most, who's going to do the most to improve the average quality of life for the everyday Savannian that's out there, to ensure their success, to turn the city around, to do the things that we want to do. Mm-hmm. Who's going to make the commitment? Who's going to put in the energy? Somebody that lives here can get their hands dirty, but also be professional at the same time, be all things to all people. And you don't have to be a Pat Monahan. You don't have to be a Michael Brown. Mm-hmm. Those were two different ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what we learned through this, is that Pat Monahan was the ultimate generalist. He knew everything about everything, and he was there to see it.
I'm instant
not
recall.
Dinosaur Pat, I'm not.
No.
But he would say, like, oh, yeah, that convention center. He's like, oh, yeah.
I remember that. And, 25 years ago. Yeah,
that's exactly. Right. Yeah. Whereas Michael is the super specialist. Mm-hmm. He can take a special project. He can run with it. He can put the blinders on and not be confused by all the madness that's out there and stay focused, headstrong upon the goal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's successful, sometimes not, whether it be hotel motel tax, the increase that's there, or working on the canal district to see that through, or the remarkable presentations that he's made in the last couple of sessions on poverty reduction and affordable housing, mm-hmm. That he had the ability to just kind of close everything out and say, no, I'm going to zero in on this one particular thing. Mm-hmm. So two very different management styles, and still successful in their own right. Who's going to have the drive? Mm-hmm. Who is going to stay after hours to make sure the job gets done no matter what? And even when they slip and fall, that they're going to pick themselves back up again and be able to do it. Mm-hmm. If they say something about red brick and make a slip like that, how are they going to recover the next time around and not get discouraged and keep on fighting?
Right. Pardon the interruption, but please allow me to work in a small word about a big sale. Right now, you can get 6 months access to SavannahNow.com, the online publication of the Savannah Morning News, for just $6. I'm no mathematician, but that works out to $1 a month. I didn't even have to use my smartphone calculator for that one. Our website is the best place to keep up with community news, sports, and opinion makers. Go to SavannahNow.com/subscribe now to get full access. Now back to the discussion with Alderman Nick Palumbo. That's a good segue, because no matter who gets put in this position, the really big thing to me with this position is you get that person in place, you can finally start focusing on these other priorities. You know, we talk a lot about the divisiveness of this council, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But if you go back to 2019, most of the people on this council, or all the people on this council, mostly ran on some of the same issues. And I think there's a lot of synergy in thinking in terms of wanting to move the needle on some of these issues. How big a factor is will this new city manager play in that? And then from your perspective, what are the ones you got to start ticking off first? Because these task forces are starting to wrap up their work. You're starting to get recommendations. It's time to get some stuff done, right?
That's right. It's ready to roll. You know, and people want to see progress now. They want to see it today. They don't want to wait. Government is a deliberative process. What are the systems changes that we're going to make a big difference? And all of the candidates in the interviews, they nailed it where they saw the highest priorities for this council and for the city, poverty reduction, affordable housing, and crime reduction. Mm-hmm. And all three of them said, you know, those were the top three. And I believe that those are the top priorities for the council. Mm-hmm. How do you get there is always the challenge.
Right.
So for poverty reduction, you know, you've had Michael Brown, you know, float some very interesting ideas, mm-hmm. from everything related to universal basic income to increased wage growth. None of them are easy tasks to tackle, but they all do work in synergy. They're all part of the same realm and they're related to each other. So I think for Savannah, everybody that comes here, everybody's born here, has to have a shot to be successful. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that those barriers that might be blocking people from that success are taken out, and then foster that success at the next level. The strides we've made in affordable housing are very promising, but we have to do 10 times more.
You got to get an ordinance down. You got to get some zoning fixes done, right?
Got to get some zoning down. And I don't think that the challenge is even the biggest challenge is cost. It's going to be where does it go? Mm-hmm. Where does it go? Because you'll hear it from the individual districts of, yes, affordable housing, not here, but somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of NIMBY going on, no doubt.
But it is, you know, it's just a city of 150,000 people. Mm-hmm. It's one Manhattan-sized neighborhood together.
Right.
And we've had the districts cut a certain way for a long time. I think it's led to some of the division that's here. All political districts are gerrymandered no matter what. Mm-hmm. We will get the opportunity to change those next year.
That's right.
And how can that reflect a better Savannah for the future? How can that reflect better policies, more equitable, more fair? And how do we get beyond these silos, yeah, to actually get the job done? Because if we don't, we should all go. Yeah. All of us. We're gone.
Yeah. Let's talk about that process, because I know that everybody's familiar with the fact that U.S. congressional districts and then the Georgia General Assembly districts are going to be changed this fall. How does the process work after that is done? Does the state legislature then take on the municipal districts?
Well, the good thing and the interesting thing about, you know, this is we have to reinvent the wheel every decade because we only do it once every 10 years.
Right.
So all the folks who probably did it last time, I don't know if they're around this time.
Mm. We know in our delegation, they probably are, unfortunately.
That's right, to be fair. Now, I know that Carl Gilliard is, Representative Gilliard is on the committee at the state level, mm-hmm. but I believe the process will work its way down to the planning commission,
okay,
which then they'll make a proposal and we'll have to figure it out from there. Mm-hmm. You know, there does need to be some more fairness to the process. I have a very strange district. It's only 8 blocks wide in some portions. It's 85% white. You know, it's literally there are parts that are barely connected to other parts that are there. We know that the districts are gerrymandered and they're cut certain ways. And that's led to division on our council.
Right.
That's unnecessary. It doesn't need to be there anymore. And we've got to find better geographical boundaries that are there that help promote more cohesion. You don't have to be a team like the Roussakis team, mm-hmm. but we do need to start acting, you know, more like colleagues, more collegial, and more like a family. Even the families don't get along. Not every family agrees on everything, mm-hmm. but to be professionals about it, because we do have the same thing in mind. Even right. for the folks, the greatest detractors on the council, you know, their heart and their minds, they're on the topic of trying to improve the quality of life.
Yes.
For everyday Savannahans.
Yeah. And I think that gets overlooked. And obviously, I'm somebody who's been very, very critical of some folks on this council that tend to not want to play well with others. But I think it is important to point out that those people, their heart's in the right place. it's the way they're executing upon what their belief is that seems to be the biggest hangup.
That's right. And any execution in some ways is unsustainable when you burn that bridge. And how do you go, you know, how do you go back across that, you know, to be able to build that bridge? And for me, my phone is always on and the door is always open. But that is getting tougher and tougher to cross with every single time that this happens.
Right.
Personal attacks or whatever it is. And, you know, we've looked at, you know, some interesting funding possibilities, you know, charging admission and tickets to the city council meetings, as a new funding opportunity, selling popcorn, whatever.
You sell it to Bravo or something like that.
That's right.
TV but show.
With each individual member of council having their own social media stream, they're coming at it. They have their own new media platforms that are out there. It's heavily divisive. You know, it's disjointed, and we're only going to be able to row this thing when we pull in the same direction. Right. We do agree on those broad policy goals. Mm-hmm. And if we can get past our own personal ambitions and how many people that want to run for mayor, you know, then we can actually make a huge difference here.
To make that difference, you know, just ask it straight out. Is it going to be a 5-4 all the way? Because, or do you see, there's two factions on council right now. Do you see you're on one faction and quite frankly, you're in the majority faction. Do you see those in the minority faction maybe being willing to, are they going to dig their heels in, or are we going to start, once the city manager gets done and we start addressing these issues that are core to everybody, are we going to start to see people say, okay, it's not about us versus them anymore. It's about getting with the majority in making some progress.
I'm always hopeful for a new day that no matter who it is, you know, there's just two categories of people that are friends and future friends, and that we have to leave the door open and the possibilities to work together. But it's incumbent upon all members of the council to do that. And it doesn't have to be a team-based approach and everybody does the same thing, far from it. But the ability to work together to get that deliberate discussion and different opinions that are very valuable. You know, I have my own opinion coming from the 4th district and my background, knowledge, my experiences. We need those 9 different voices to help shape those policies. But we do have members of council that are either just not engaging or not engaging productively or actively working against the city itself in some cases, you know, to torpedo hotel motel taxes or whatever it may be, selectively engaging in the city manager search process the last time around. This time, we do have everybody has participated in the surveys. Everybody participated in the discussions. And, you know, on the flip side, we have perfect attendance for our city council meetings. You know, that's everybody's attended every workshop session. That's remarkable.
That's good. I think the city council decision, depending on how it goes, could possibly be the first step, right? If you get 7, 6, 7, 8, I doubt you're going to get 9, but that'd be the perfect situation. Is if you get it 9-0, this really could be that one that pushes that boulder up off the top of the hill and gets it rolling.
I hope so. If I could wave my magic wand and have the one wish, you know, it's the stop politicking, start governing.
Right.
Because we have a faction on council that doesn't have very many wins under its belt, and then it's just dug in further and further. But I believe that there's still time to turn over a new leaf and work together and recognize, you know, if you want to run for higher offices within the city government, you can, but there's a season for that as well. Yeah. In the meantime, we have to get to the governing side and stat. You know, pandemic's over, the challenges are here, and the public is not waiting for us to be like resting on our laurels about how we handle the pandemic or St. Patrick's Day or otherwise. It is always, what are you doing for me today? What challenges are you facing today? How are we going to tackle crime? How are we going to tackle, even if it's a nationwide issue, we have gun violence all across the nation right now. It's how are you going to battle that and be different? And you have to be. That comes with the territory. That comes with signing on and suiting up and stepping into the role when you put your name on the ballot. So for the time that we're here, we have to still do that. We can't give up and then just go to political season and skip a couple of years. We still have to govern.
You mentioned gun violence, and that's something that with your background as a police officer, I'd be really interested in. Our police department it's had a couple rough couple of months. You know, we had somebody die in custody. We had some, obviously there were some mistakes made by officers involved in that situation. Obviously, following that, we had other officers that did something pretty despicable in terms of poking fun or however you want to describe it, in terms of the man that hung himself in custody. At least that's what we believe happened. Now we're at a point where we, it seems like every summer you get a little bit of a spate of gun violence. I think we're in that right now. It's a difficult time for the police department. When you look at it as now a city leader, what would you say about the police department, and what would you say about the gun violence issue we're having?
You know, it's a those are great questions. That and you lived up to the promise. When I came in, I said, no holds barred. Come on. No easy questions. And there's never been, I think, a more difficult time to be a police officer, be
right,
law enforcement than right now.
Today. Absolutely. Yeah.
And putting on the uniform, you know, public sentiment shifts and it's cyclical. But I've always been a believer that you can't forget and you can't miss the opportunity in every situation. It's awful what happened at the police barracks. You know, there were officers that, and I believe that the chief made the right call and justified. There's no one more disgusted than me and cops and former cops when it comes to those that aren't doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, because it looks bad on the entire profession. It looks bad on all of us. It makes me mad and angry. Mm-hmm. Because we've all been through the training. Mm-hmm. We all know better, and we have to do better.
Mm-hmm.
The police officers should not be communicating in parallel on Facebook during their shift. That's mm-hmm. what radios are for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever's going on over there, you know, it ain't good if they're trying to keep it out of the light.
Mm-hmm.
We can't miss the opportunity this time around to, whether it be new training procedures, better hiring practices,
mm-hmm.
or how are we going to be more competitive when it is now, again, a struggle to hire folks for law enforcement.
Yeah.
So we have to be innovative. We have to be thinking of new things that make the police and law enforcement profession mm-hmm. a true profession, make mm-hmm. it attractive for people from Savannah that want to come up and do it. Reestablishing our connection with the school system and the law enforcement training program that they once had, redeveloping that so that you can have folks that are there, reestablishing those connections between Georgia Southern, Savannah State, you know, Georgia Southern Armstrong campus, for those that are pursuing criminal law enforcement as a career that they want to come and stay here, mm-hmm. and finding those ladders of responsibility that you can make a career here in community policing.
Mm-hmm.
Policing changed a great deal since the 10 years that I've been out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from mm-hmm. I was in D.C., we were fighting the global war on terror. Mm-hmm. I went overseas to Baghdad to help build up in the transition from Operation Iraqi Freedom to New Dawn. At the time, we were trying to end combat operations, and the budget was all near unlimited. We had hired at one point 1 in 8 Iraqi men either worked in the security forces or police forces in the country. We had thrown so much money behind it, trying to just hire as many police officers, security forces as possible, and it still didn't work.
Right.
It still didn't work until you address the root causes of what was starting it in the first place. It was the instability. It was the poverty that was there. It was the fact that, you know, regularity of power and running water still was a challenge there. You know, we don't have those issues here in Savannah, but we still have the lack of economic opportunity, the folks that feel like they don't have a future, they don't have a voice, they don't have that input, that have to choose this life of crime.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find an alternative to the drug dealers that are out there earning $50,000 a year tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
We got to fight that. We got to beat that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find the opportunities for those kids that are coming out of school that they're not going to turn and make those choices. And then we have to start younger and thinking younger than we ever have before.
Mm.
We had a presentation. The folks came down from the state to talk to us about where we are losing the kids. And it's happening in third grade with their ability to read.
Right.
That only half of the kids in Chatham County have the ability to read by the third grade.
Read on third grade level. You're right. Yep.
You know, so that is the off ramp. That's where we're losing them. So we're dealing with the symptoms of what's happened, you know, in decades past. Larger macro issues, the pandemic, you know, inequalities that are out there that still remain that we're trying to address. There's things that we do today, keeping a strong police department that's there. I think the community police model works,
right?
And keeping that rolling. But longer term, we need to build better partnerships with our county, with our school board, to really talk about, let's have this heart to heart, what is happening to our kids.
Right.
And that, I do see that happening after the last shooting on Avery Street. I see that happening now.
Good.
I see the commitment from the county and Chairman Ellis. You know, that Helen Stowe reached out to me. She said, I'm part of the One Chatham Initiative. We're going to meet together. And we did. We talked about what's going on in the county.
Yeah.
We need to get the school board at the table. I saw District Attorney Shalina Cook-Jones came to Alderman Pertee's Crime Summit in the 6th District talking about, okay, we're putting together new initiatives now to work with the city and county government to make this happen, really hit this head on.
Right.
Those are exciting conversations to have, but we got to keep going.
So it can't all be on the police department. That's long and short of it. They need to do what they do, but it needs to be more of a holistic approach.
That's right. We can't, by the time it gets to a police action, it's too late. It's too late. We're just being responsive. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to be more proactive. We need to build that lead in, you know, for people's lives, that they have opportunity and success upon success upon success, because there's a series of 10,000 failures that happens before that child pulls the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking, you know, these are kids that are 13, 14, 15 years old, much, much younger than we're anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that they outgrow those poor decisions. But I think easy access to guns, easy access to stolen guns is an immediate problem. We have to challenge the way that we're approaching education in our school system to see what is actually working out there and how do we reorient it and focus on individual accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So I came from I taught in the public school system here at Savannah Early College. Mm-hmm. We had 300 students in the school. I could have the opportunity to know every single student, and I knew when they were having a bad day. I knew when something was off. We've got some enormous schools out there. It's tough to have that level of accountability.
Right.
That's just something that I'd like to see, and waving the magic wand, you know,
right,
while we're on the commute. But from the city side, you know, at least we're acknowledging that it's not just the police department. It's not just response times. You know, you can get the response times down. You can get a professional department in there, which we've got. It could always be better, but we've got to figure out what are the system changes that are happening that caused this to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's a big job. Big job for sure.
It's a big job, but we can't let it go. You know, we're here talking about it a week later. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about next week and next week
next week.
And next
right.
week.
Not just
and even though I brought you some aluminum cups, right? And sustainability, and that's something very important to me. You know, to keep that fire alive, to
right.
keep that fire alive, because you can't rest. We hire every single time we hire up the full staff for the police department, a couple of years pass and we're right back in it,
right.
you know. So what's another way out of the trap? I don't want any cheese. I just want to get out of the trap. How do we,
right.
how do we make law enforcement more attractive?
Right.
Do we change the uniform? Do we take a look, you know, is it time to alter the uniform from military style back to more civilian style? These are questions that I've floated to folks around City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's a wild idea, but, you know, we need to be more creative in how we're going to approach this or we're going to get out of it.
Right. Well, I think we could probably sit here and keep someone topics and talk all day, but
that's all, you know, the future of the entire city itself,
that's
the
it.
Arena, the canal, law enforcement, policing, building
yeah.
and development, sustainability that's out there. But hey, it's been a really exciting ride
right.
to be on the council. I'm really glad that I've done it. You know, there've been a lot of challenging days, but
yeah.
I'm still really glad to be here and I don't get the ability to do this.
Yeah. All of us in the community are rooting for some wins, starting with the city manager search, and we'll look forward to big things from there. But Alderman Palumbo, thanks so much for taking the time to come in. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you so much.
We'll leave it right there with Nick for now. We actually talked for quite a bit longer, but in the interest of time, we're going to go ahead and save the rest of the interview for a sequel or a part two or what have you that we will air in weeks to come. So stay tuned for that. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Commute. And thank you also to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Please support them as they support this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode of The Commute and want to hear more, download archived episodes on your podcast app by searching The Commute with @SavannahOpinion. The Commute returns on Thursday.